Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase and D-Mace here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your Friday. Hopefully it's the last day you have to work until the weekend. You know, some of you have to work on the weekend. I get it. But some of you don't.
We do.
Yeah, I know. We do.
Weekend warriors.
That's right.
We do. Saturday night. Keep in mind, a little bit earlier start than normal, a 6 o'clock puck drop tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena when the Predators host the Jets from Winnipeg, not New York, not a former team of D-Mace's. He never played for Winnipeg.
Yeah.
But New York, he chooses not to really acknowledge.
Nah.
I don't think you've been to the Peg, have you, Derek?
Nah.
You haven't had the pleasure?
Nah, I haven't had the pleasure. I would like to go. There are certain arenas or ballparks that I would like to go to. But yeah, I do forget about those horrible New York Jet days. Awful.
Look, they're awful. Super nice people in the Peg. Mm-hmm. Super nice people. They love their hockey in the Peg, but there ain't nothing going on in the Peg.
Yeah, well, game. Other than That's the game. It. Like, the game, they have a great atmosphere
there. Nothing going
there.
On mm-hmm. in the Peg.
But I'll just tell you, Derek, just to paint the picture, there are no hills. There's no hills in Winnipeg.
No,
it's a prairie.
Miles.
Yeah.
No, you can see for 60
prairie.
Miles.
Yeah.
Without your glasses on.
If it's a clear day,
60 miles.
You can see three towns over, huh?
Oh, yep. Three
no
towns.
Question. Easily. No question. Unless it's snowing so hard that you can't see.
Yeah. If your neighbor is 25 acres away, you can talk to them. You can go on your front porch and talk to them.
I'll never forget the first time I flew into Winnipeg. I was sitting next to Stu Grimson. And I said, Stu, look at this. It's unbelievably flat. I was like, look how far you can see them. He goes, I never promised you hills.
So it's sort of like Kansas. Kansas is the same way. Yeah, it's completely flat.
Yeah. A lot of that. Yeah. But there ain't nothing going on in the Peg but a hockey game. That's about it.
Well, sometimes that's all you need, you know?
Yeah, they got beer. It's game.
Beer and hockey.
Yeah,
that's all you need. Beer, hockey. And some beer nuts. That's all you need.
Hey, they got cold weather. They got that too. They got cold weather.
Nah, they can keep that.
Yeah, well, they got it.
Mm-hmm.
Never shy on cold weather. We have got a loaded show today. We're excited about it. Hall of Famer Warren Moon will join us in about 12 minutes. We'll talk to him. Anita Marks from ESPN's Daily Wager Show will join us to kick off the second hour. We'll talk about all the Super Bowl odds and props and everything around betting. When it comes to Super Bowl 56, you just made the list at noon. Lewis Riddick, after you just made the list, pick 6 in the final hour, and Mina Kimes from ESPN as well. So we got a lot of stuff to get into. Last night, NFL had their award show out in Los Angeles, and congratulations to Titans head coach Mike Vrabel as he became the AP head coach of the year, which, you know, I don't think that was – too big of a surprise, but he got coach of the year.
Yeah, it's not a surprise at all. You know, what he's done with this team, not only this year, but last year, and what he's done since he's been there, been the coach of the Titans, has been, you know, to take a franchise and make them relevant again. You know, when he got here, they were slowly trending toward that with you know, coming off a 9-7 in the playoff berth, I believe, that year. But he's taking them to another level. So kudos to Coach. He deserves it. That coaching staff deserves it. I think it should be a whole coaching staff award. I think it should be. It shouldn't just be, you know, and it might be. I really don't know. But it shouldn't be an individual, you know, coach of the year. It should be a coaching staff of the year, because that staff did an excellent job at, you know, when guys would go down, just getting them ready to play each and every week. And they were prepared. Whether they won or lost, they were prepared to play.
Well, but in fairness, though, it's up to the head coach to assemble that staff, to vault him to that point. So everybody knows it. I mean, he's got the responsibility. I mean, it's why I believe Mike Munchak, it didn't work out here. I mean, I just his staff was just not good enough. I think Mike Munchak had a really good shot to be a good head coach in the league. Players respected the heck out of him, like they do Mike Vrabel. They understood, you know, he's a Hall. You know, Mike Munchak played the game like they did. He's in Canton. He was a tremendous player. He gets him. He's got a great demeanor about him. But he had an awful staff. And I get it. He was kind of behind the eight ball when he got named head coach. So, he, you know, a lot of good coaches had already been hired. But, man, did he had some bad hires. I'm sorry. I don't know how you can look past that, or if you're being honest, not say that he just had some coaches that just weren't good enough.
Well, Mularkey, I mean, Munchak did a good job. Mularkey did a good job, too. You're only as good as the people you surround yourself with in the coaching world. If you're a smart coach, you will surround yourself with, you know, guys that have been very successful, guys that have shown, you know, they're up and coming, but shown they can be successful and have the right temperament and work ethic to be in that world, because that's an extremely difficult world to be in. So, you know, again, I take my hat off to Vrabel, but you got to take your hat off to that staff, too, because, I mean, being a player, they do just as much to get those players. Well, they do more to get those players ready during the week than the head coach does. It's just, the head coach is the CEO, but those assistant coaches and coordinators, they do more than the head coach to get those guys ready to play.
I'm glad that they recognize him, because I think we know Nashville sometimes gets overlooked. They don't look as closely at the teams here as they do in New York and L.A. and Chicago. I'm glad they got it right. I think he's a very, very good coach that had a great year. I think some coaches will tell you, looking back on their own self-evaluation, you can be a good coach but not have a great coaching year, right?
Yeah.
And you can be an okay coach that has everything fall together for them. But coaches will tell you that their performance does fluctuate a little bit. You know, it's not but I think, in general, Mike Vrabel, people like playing for him. They like how he conducts himself. He's a leader. I think he's improved. I think we've all kind of watched him mature in the role here. And I think he absolutely is deserving of this.
To your point, really, really good coaches have bad days at the office. Andy Reid had a really bad day at the office.
Oh, yeah.
In the AFC Championship game. I'm glad you said it, Coach. Yeah, but we all thought it. We all knew it. You lost him that game. Like, you lost it. You're responsible for that loss. The end of that first half was, I don't care how you
that lost them the game. The end of that first half lost them the game.
It was a horrible, horrible decision by him. Horrible. Did I say horrible? Yes. Sean McVay tried to give away their game against the 49ers. He really did. And I get it. He's in the Super Bowl. Andy Reid's won a Super Bowl. They're tremendous coaches. Sean McVay did not have a great day at the office against the 49ers. His challenges were pathetic. You know, just some of his the coaching maneuvers throughout the course of that game. He didn't have a great day at the office. They found a way to win. But to your point, really, really, really good coaches, or great coaches, have bad days at the office. And there's two examples right there of two guys in their championship games. And McVay's lucky he survived, because Andy Reid didn't survive his blunders as the head coach.
No, you're absolutely right.
But quite honestly, if I'm going to say all that, I didn't agree with some of Mike Vrabel, as we well documented the whole week after the Bengals lost. I didn't agree with some of his calls either. I mean, I didn't agree with going for two. I thought that was a horrible decision. I would not have gone for it on fourth and one. I would have kicked the field goal. But, you know, I didn't think his decision making. But overall, I mean, he deserved this award. He did. 91 players. Nobody gave him a chance to be the one seed in the AFC. And, oh, by the way, lost his best running back. The best running back in the league, not just his best running back, the best running back in the league midway through the season.
Tons,
I didn't think he had a great day at the office against Cincinnati, but he deserves this award. But
tons of stuff, though, thrown at him during the year from the very, very start. You know, Julio Jones from the first week of training camp, that was an issue all year long. They were dealing with his availability and that whole thing. A.J. Brown went through a lot. We just mentioned Derrick Henry, the offensive line issues, Taylor Lewan coming off of the ACL, Bud Dupree coming off of the ACL. So many things that they were dealing with. And yet by the end of the year, they beat the Bills. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Rams. They beat the 49ers. You know, they had one heck of a year when you get down to it. He absolutely deserved this award. Doesn't mean that next year he's going to win it again, because mm-hmm. you have to have a good team. But I just think he did a great job navigating through a ton. That's what I admired the most.
Well, that's why it's very, very important to have a really, really good staff for the most part, because as much credit, and I'm pretty sure Vrabel would say the thing if you say the same thing if you ask him, as much credit, it's sort of like the quarterback. Sometimes you get too much credit. Sometimes you get too much of the flack. When Derrick Henry goes down, who has to get the next running back prepared? Not the head coach. It's the running back's coach and the offensive coordinator. Yep. They have to get the next guy ready to go. And that's why I said one reason is, you know, him assembling that staff and then that staff doing the job that they were tasked to do. That's why it should be a coaching award, like the coaching staff, because sometimes those individuals that really do the grunt work, they get left out. But you got to take your hat off to Vrabel again, because, like you said, Darren, he assembled the staff. And so you have to get rewarded for assembling the staff, but you can't leave the staff out. And I'm sure he's not, but I'm just saying as far as, you know, people outside of that coaching staff recognizing more than just a head coach.
John in Clarksville's got a reasonable request on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He has asked that we change the name so it's easier for me to say, you know, to maybe something like Triple D and C. I mean, rather than
I told the first day I put it out there, nobody gave me any love back. The 3DC. The 3DC.
I'm okay with that. 3DC.
That's what we are.
3DC? Yeah,
the 3DC. We were 3D, and then Chase was, and then we were Darren, Donick, and Chase, the DDC, so it's the 3DC. Boom.
Yeah, you
problem
know
solved.
There you we know go. Me. That's right. The 3DC. You know me.
We'll have to find Tretch and see if he can, you know, dub a little theme song for our show.
That'd be nice.
Naughty by Nature.
Yeah, the DD. Yeah. The DD.
You down with 3DC? Down with 3DC.
Yeah, 3DC.
You down with 3DC?
The only hesitation I have is it may be a lot of work for nothing. It's a great suggestion by John in Clarksville. Uh-huh. And Willie, yours, you know, too. They're great suggestions. But, you know, now that C's a suit, I don't really know what's the point.
He
I mean,
quite honestly,
we love him, but what's the point of really doing a new open with C when we don't think the suit's going to be around much
on
this show?
Hardly does he,
ever.
Does he go into the Hall of Fame?
Ooh.
Ooh. This.
Did you ever get your wrench?
They said it was on. It's coming. They keep saying it's coming.
It's on back order.
I'm tracking it on my phone.
Look, we ordered it from China.
You get some
you know
emails.
How long it takes? It's stuck.
They said it hasn't left the hasn't left the warehouse yet.
Hey, so you got a serial number on it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's on a boat, Derek. It's on a boat. It's stuck in the middle of the ocean. We'll
it'll
get
to
sooner
me.
Or later.
Yeah,
okay?
It'll get to me.
It's
I'm not
of
worried.
Our hands. We ordered it from China. Okay, yeah. What are we gonna do? You know,
man, I think it got held up. Maybe on the docks over in Baltimore with the guys from The Wire, you know, those shady guys from The Wire. They put it in a cart.
Well, they know it's mine. They'll bring it over.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Auburn expected today to announce they're keeping their coach. Well, good for Auburn.
Okay.
All right, we'll get into that a little bit later. We'll come back. Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon on the other side of Triple D and C, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and D-Mace with us. Derek Mason here for the ride till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Elijah Campbell manning things at our Hillside Medical Game Studios. Let's bring in a Hall of Famer, quarterback Warren Moon. We always enjoy our chats with him. Warren, good morning. How you doing?
I am doing great, guys. How are you? I'm out here in beautiful Southern California. It's probably in the middle 80s, and it's a great weekend for football.
Well, typically, the weather we've been having this winter, that would suck hearing that forecast. But actually, today in Nashville, we may hit 70 degrees. So looks like it's going to be a nice one here,
great.
Too.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
not really a request, just a favor. Just maybe you could pass along in your circles, your Hall of Fame circles of friends. We need to get Derek Mason a little bit closer to Canton. You know, where you've been. You know, we need to get him in that gold jacket. So maybe if you could spread the word and get our D-Mace, you know, like, I think he needs a little bit fair shake in the Hall of Fame. It's something we've talked about a lot. We know you've got pull, but we just thought we'd drop that in your lap before we get started.
Yeah, we'll put on a little PR campaign for him. We'll see what we can do. I'll talk to John McClain today when I see him, and we'll get the thing rolling.
Well, this is what I can guarantee, Warren. If you were throwing to Derek, he would be in the Hall of Fame with you. There's no doubt about it. If he had you as his quarterback throughout his career.
Well, if I was throwing to him, I'd have a Super Bowl ring on my finger, too. You know? That's kind of how that works. You know, another guy I want to try and get in here is Steve McNair.
Absolutely.
I think he deserves to be in here along with Derek.
That's a really, really good suggestion. So, when you look at these quarterbacks, I mean, let's start with Joe Burrow, Warren. And nobody's ever done this in their second year as the number one pick overall. You know, the number one pick overall comes with lots of pressure and expectations. And right now, he's delivered in just year two.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, this would be one of the biggest turnarounds, I think, in the history of professional football, that you take a team that won four games last year and take them all the way to the Super Bowl and win it the next year. That would be amazing. So, this guy has a lot of poise. He has a lot of moxie. He has a lot of confidence, and this team just kind of rides with him. And they just never feel like they're out of a football game. And that's a tremendous feeling to have for a football team, because at this point in the year, you know, everybody's talented. That's why you've gotten here, because you're a talented team. Both of these teams, everybody's banged up because you've played anywhere from 20 to 21 games. So everybody's got some type of nick or something like that, but the mental side of it is what's important going into these big games. You know, who's feeling really good about themselves? And I'm sure the Rams feel good about themselves as well, but Cincinnati really feels good about themselves that no matter what happens in this game, nobody's expecting us to win. We're just going to go out there and let it hang loose and don't have to worry about next week. And we know that if we get behind, we've come back in our last three playoff games and we can do it again. So that's a great feeling for a team to have going into a championship game.
Yeah, and meanwhile, on the other side, the other number one pick overall, Matthew Stafford, has heard all the, you know, the criticism over the years when he was in Detroit of, great regular season stats, you know, doesn't want any playoff games, doesn't get to very many playoff games, and, you know, now he's got the Rams in the Super Bowl. So a different type of pressure, and by the way, he's waited the longest for any number one pick overall that made it to the Super Bowl to get to this spot. So how do you think he'll handle that?
You know, I think he'll be okay. He's done very well throughout the playoffs. He's only turned the ball over one time in his three games, and he's thrown some big passes and big-time moments in some of these games. You know, his team fell behind to San Francisco in the playoff game, and he's able to bring them back and win their game, too. So there's a tremendous confidence level on the Rams side as well. I'm sure there's a comfort going on the Rams because they're playing at home in their stadium. It's not like they're going to have their home fans there, but they're still playing in a place where they didn't have to travel or do anything like that. They've practiced in their own facility all week long, slept in their own beds. There's something to that. So I think this team is ready to play, and they have a lot of star power on this team, and I think that's where the difference lies to me. I think those stars will rise to the occasion at the key point in the ball game, and that's going to be the difference that the Rams win the game to me. It's going to be a close football game, but I think the Rams will pull it out.
We're talking with Warren Moon, Hall of Famer. Now, Warren, you talk about the stars that are in this game, and the bulk of them are on the L.A. Rams side. With that being said, do you see the pressure with them having all of these, you know, great players on one side of the ball? Do you see the pressure sort of swaying more toward the Rams than the Cincinnati Bengals?
I think the pressure is more on the front office that made all these moves and the head coach that they've kind of went all in on this, and hopefully this works, because they don't have a lot of draft picks for the future, and it seems to be something they're not really worried about. But you would hope, after everything they've done by acquiring all these, you know, star players and giving up all these draft picks, that this experiment works and they come out of it with a championship. If they don't win this championship, I don't know if it's a complete failure, but they did get to the championship again. But the whole key to this thing was to try and win one. So, yeah, if there's a little bit of pressure on anybody, it's probably more on the Rams because of all what they gave up to get to this point as far as the players and the draft picks for the future, all of that. They just want a championship right now, and if they don't get that, yeah, that could be a little bit of a failure.
Now, it seems like, saying that, it seems like the NFL sort of taking a note from the NBA, where we're going to assemble this sort of dream team to try to chase a championship. And if it doesn't happen with the LA Rams, do you think GMs will be a little bit more hesitant to try to go all in to win a championship that year?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is a big test for the rest of the league to see if this experiment works or not. And it doesn't mean you have to win it all in one year, because the Rams, even though they have all these weapons that they acquired, except for Von Miller being up there a little bit, most of these guys are still young. You know, Jalen Ramsey's a young guy. Aaron Donald's a young guy. Even Matthew Stafford, he's only 34 years old, so he's still got some good years left in the league to maybe win a couple of more championships. But, yeah, everybody's got their eyes on the Rams because of everything they've done in this short period of time, to see if they can get this championship done right now in their own backyard.
We're talking to Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. And, Warren, you can imagine in this town what it's been like these last couple of weeks, just trying to deal with the fallout of being the number one seed and coming up short in the divisional game. We've had some great guests. Matt Hasselbeck joined us talking about what it's like, you know, losing the Super Bowl. You can relate as well. You played on some great teams for the Oilers. I can remember year in and year out, you guys putting yourselves in position, never could quite make that run. I don't think people really realize how hard it is to win the whole thing sometimes, but give me your thoughts on what that's like, you know, to put yourself in position but just never been able to put it all together as a team.
Yeah, it's a very empty feeling, because you go through this long, hard regular season, you know, of 17 weeks. Back in our day, it was 16 games, 17 weeks. And you finally get to the playoffs, and you try and put yourself in a great position to maybe advance, try and get you a home game. If you try and get a bye week, that even helps even more. And when things, you know, don't go the way you want them to, and you lose a football game, or somebody comes from behind and beats you at the end, it is a very demoralizing feeling, because everybody that goes into the playoffs thinks they have a chance to win it all. And you've got all this anticipation, you've got all this positive vibe going. And when that game is over, all you think about is cleaning out your locker and when you're going to leave town, when you're going to move out of your apartment, all these different, it just becomes the most down time in your life as a professional football player. So, I've gone through that a number of times. It is not a great feeling. There's only one team every year that goes home with that feeling, you know, with that great feeling of winning it all, the team that wins in this game on Sunday. Other than that, everybody goes home the same way, feeling like they didn't get it done. So some it happens earlier because they don't make it to the playoffs. Some, if they lose throughout the playoffs, it happens too. It doesn't matter when it happens. It is not a great feeling, and I went through it a number of times, and it you never get over it. You think about those games that you lost. You think about what you could have did more to make those teams win those games. So, yeah, it's something that stays with you a long time.
I could hear you in your answer talking about how you would self-evaluate. You put it on yourself. But as you know, also a lot of noise from the outside on top of it, right, criticizing the team. Hey, they can't win the big one, et cetera. How did you try to cope with that? How did you try to block that out?
Well, I didn't have to worry about social media like people do today. So if I didn't listen to talk radio, or if I didn't listen to the news or read the newspaper, I was fine. But what I did is like you said, I just took the blame myself, first of all, and nobody took it harder than I did. So nobody could criticize me any more than I'm being tough on myself. And then I just went back to work. I just started, you know, working again, getting ready in the off season, looking at tape to see what I could get better at, and just starting to get better for the next year. And that's kind of how you handle it. You just dive back into it and try and get back out there and do a better job.
So I think I heard you say at the beginning, you do believe while it's going to be a close game, the Rams are going to pull it out?
I think so. I just think on paper they're probably the better football team. I think the biggest advantage the Rams have is their defensive front against the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line. And if the Rams can somehow get ahead in this ball game, and it becomes a game where Joe has to keep passing the ball to get back in it. That's just playing right into the Rams' pass rush's hands, and it could be a tough afternoon for him. But if they can keep the game close and make it where he doesn't have to throw it, he can continue to keep mixing in the running game, mixing in screens, things that will get the ball out of his hands really quickly, they can make this a very close football game. But if the Rams get out early, it's going to be a little bit tougher than them coming from behind against some of the other teams that don't have this same pass rush that they have. Yeah. And taking care of the football. You know, the Tennessee Titans sacked him 9 times. The difference was he didn't turn it over, and Tennessee turned it over 3 times. When you turn the ball over 3 times in a playoff game to none for the other team, you're pretty much going to lose every time.
Okay, so let's end on that, Warren. Obviously, there's been a lot of chatter in this market about Ryan Tannehill's performance. Obviously, the 3 picks were critical. First pass of the game was an interception. His last throw of the game was an interception. What do you think? You played the position. When you watch Ryan Tannehill, what's your assessment of him, and do you think the Titans can ultimately get to this stage with Ryan Tannehill under center?
You know, I think Ryan is a guy that they can win with. You look at what he did the previous 2 years to this one. He was one of the top quarterbacks in the league the way he played. I think a lot of changes happened for Ryan this year. He lost his play caller in Arthur Smith when he went to Atlanta. Receivers in and out of the lineup with injuries. You never had that continuity there. You know, we had Julio 1 week. You have Jones the next week, and then one of them is out. You lose Derrick Henry early in the season. So just a lot of transition for him as a quarterback, and quarterbacks really try and hopefully rely on consistency and repetition, and that would help. I think that's what hurt him this year. I think if everything is equal going back into this next season, I think you'll see a much more improved Ryan Tannehill because he'll have things in place and hopefully he won't have as many injuries and as many guys in and out of the lineup and more used to his play caller this year.
Yep. Hey, we always enjoy talking to you. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Enjoy your time out in L.A., and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Yep. All right, that is Hall of Famer Warren Moon. Really appreciate him joining us out in Los Angeles. You're going to get a heavy Super Bowl 56 flavor here today on the show as we sit here on the Friday before the Super Bowl. We'll come back. We'll react to what he said there at the very end. We'll do that on the other side as you listen to the 3D and C show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. There you go, the Hall of Famer Warren Moon, who just joined us from out in L.A., site of Super Bowl 56. I will say, when I ended the interview by asking him about Ryan Tannehill, there was a pause. Elijah left that out of the answer. There was a pause, and then he answered it.
But he gave a very detailed answer.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff. I mean, it's the
yeah, but same he doesn't live here, right? I mean, he doesn't live here and hear it everything. So that's from the outside.
Warren is not going to bash him. Warren's not going to say anything bad about him. And so he gave the politically correct answer of what we've been saying for years. It's the same thing. If everything goes right, if it's the perfect storm, everything is perfect, if the stars are aligned correctly, yes, you can do it.
Well, that's for
if
any team.
That's
for any team. Everything's got to go right for any team to win the Super Bowl.
It's what I've been saying for years.
You can't have a bad year and win the Super Bowl.
Now everybody's going, oh, maybe we should have an elite quarterback. Oh, well, I'm glad everybody's figured it out now. I've been saying this is what you get with these quarterbacks.
But even
with this forever.
Darren, even with the elite quarterbacks, something has to bounce your way.
Yeah,
of course. You know, and Tom Brady, the first three, it wasn't because of Brady. It was because of all those other things around him. Now, the last three was more so because of him and his ability to just be the greatest quarterback of all time. But not every franchise win because they have a franchise-type quarterback. I mean, is it a little bit easier, as we all know? Yes, it is. You don't mind putting it on a quarterback's shoulders. But, you know, those teams, even with franchise quarterbacks, never even get to the Super Bowl. But I understand what you're saying. Like, listen, we've seen Ryan over the last 3 years. We know what he is. He's gotten a lot better from when his Miami days to now. Did he regress this season? Absolutely. Can we win with him? Yes. Can we make it to the Super Bowl with them? And this is what the Titans believe. Yes, Vrabel said it, but we have to surround people. Or we have to get people around him in order for that to happen. Now, that's the task. Now that you said it out loud, Vrabel, you have the task of going to get those people in the offseason. So you can't say next year if you don't make it, well, we need people around them. Well, you had it. You knew this problem last year. Yeah. And if you didn't do it, then now is the, it's yours and Robinson's fault. No longer the quarterback.
Well, to your point, Aaron Rodgers has one Super Bowl victory. Drew Brees has one Super Bowl victory. Russell Wilson has one Super Bowl victory. I mean, there's a lot of great elite quarterbacks that didn't get, you know, I mean, obviously nobody's got the Tom Brady step, but didn't get 2, 3, 4. I mean, right now, as great as Patrick Mahomes is, he's got one Super Bowl victory. That's it. Now, you know, do we think that's going to change? Probably so. He's got a long ways to go, we think, in his career, so that could change. I think for me, and let me just say this, Willie knows this best, and Derek, you've been a part of so many of these conversations. I'm not saying anything because I know this is what it is. I'm okay with it. Like, I'm just laughing at now people want to – it's like now when it's unrealistic to do, now you want to move on. It's like, well, that's too bad. Like, Ryan Tannehill hasn't changed. He's the exact same quarterback he was 2 years ago when everybody was like, where's the respect for Ryan Tannehill? Why doesn't everybody talk about him more? And now all those people today are like, get rid of him. He's a bum. He can't win. No, he's the same exact quarterback who just happened to throw 3 interceptions in his last game this season. But he's the same exact quarterback that you were trying to praise 2 years ago. And who needs Tom Brady? We have Ryan Tannehill. Who needs him? Ryan Tannehill's fine. He's younger. Tom Brady's old. Nothing's changed. I just laugh now because – and Willie is, you know, to his credit, he's never changed his stance. I haven't either. But all the people that have flip-flopped, it's like now I'm laughing because, well, it's too late to change now. It's too late. Like, you can't change now. They're all in on Ryan Tannehill. You should have been having this stance a year or two ago when you could, when you actually could do that before you signed him to this really, really large contract. But to the people that are like, Ryan Tannehill can't win, what were you saying that 2 years ago? Because he's the same exact quarterback. Like, literally nothing's changed.
Look, we've been through this. We've been through this. They've won a lot of games with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. And a lot of those people you're talking about, Darren, have conveniently forgotten how poor they were at that position for about a decade.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're right.
Mediocre to poor. Look, I tried to believe as much as I could in Marcus Mariota, and
he did have his moments.
Look, and he
Willie, you did not get off that Mariota train at all.
I tried to get.
We were trying to pull you off.
Every
we were dragging you, and you were kicking and screaming. And
I did.
Let me go. Let me go. And Derek, I was pulling you like, get enough with Mariota. Enough, and you're like kicking and screaming.
And I would say that for a lot of Mariota's tenure, he didn't have quite the personnel around him, particularly at receiver. They could never really get him a full complement of receivers.
Top-flight receiver.
But, Ryan, just think about for a minute how much we scrutinized Marcus Mariota for a long period of time. There is no comparison. And I had no idea this was coming. When they made the switch to Tannehill, I could never have expected the upgrade that they got with him. And people have forgotten that. It's ridiculous to me how people have just completely taken a different spectrum and looking at it through a different prism from only that fateful day against the Bengals forward. They have completely forgotten all of the history there, and it really upsets me. It does.
What have you done for me lately?
Exactly. They have won a lot of games with Ryan Tannehill, and people need to understand the history before you start saying, hey, they can't win. They can't win with that, right? We got to get somebody else.
Willie, Derek, this narrative that's happened in this market over the last 2 weeks, it has strongly encouraged me to now start defending Ryan Tannehill because it's so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Like, I'm now – like, I'm somewhere I didn't want to be. Like, I'm actually I'm changing sides. I'm defending Ryan Tannehill.
And I will take full blame for really believing in Marcus Mariota. I thought he would keep progressing, and he just didn't
he reached a point where he wasn't going to progress, and to their credit, they had the guts to make the switch in the middle of the season. And man, what a huge move that was. They didn't have to do that, mm-hmm. but they did. They brought in Tannehill, and then they said, you know what? We got to make the move. But the upgrade, it's like, I don't know what grade you would give Tannehill. Let's just say that Tannehill is a B-level quarterback. He's not an A. If A is elite, Tannehill would be, he's played at least at a B.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota was at best a C. Right?
He got to a B one year.
He got to a B 1 year. Overall grade, yes. Overall grade, a C.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they went from a C to a B.
Save that audio, Elijah. Willie just gave Mariota a C. Save that audio.
Like, we're talking about an overall grade for 4 years, like your GPA for 4 years. Okay, there were semesters where Mariota would get up there. Mm-hmm. He might have had a B. Maybe even had a semester of an A. Maybe it was an easy class, you know?
It wasn't
trigonometry.
It was bowling.
Surfing. Yeah, bowling, surfing.
You got a name, bowling?
No, surfing.
Surfing?
He had an unfair
But the
advantage.
Overall GPA, I got to look at your overall GPA, right?
Like,
it
how
was
many
about
people are going to get a good grade in surfing in Nashville, you know? But he did. He got a good grade.
It balances out.
Joe, we're going to continue this on the other side. Joe on our text line said, what about 3D and Blue Chew? Well,
got to go to a break.
Wrap up the first hour next. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Don't forget, in the noon hour, your chance to qualify, your last chance to qualify for those Daytona 500 tickets. The winner will be announced today during the 5 o'clock hour. Back here on 3D and C, although C's never around anymore, you know? The suit C is never around.
Hey,
so,
man, you're taking care of business.
But I guess until they tell us, you know. Did he even make an appearance on the show this week?
Who?
Exactly. I don't even think he made an appearance on the show this week. I think he was completely absent. So.
Hey. That's what happens when you become the suit, man. You get other
Getting
obligations.
Pulled in all directions.
Yeah, people are pulling you in all directions. You know, you want to feel important, but then when you are important, you get pulled everywhere.
That's right.
Know? It's happened.
It's true. The Broncos are expected to hire longtime defensive coordinator Dom Capers as a senior defensive assistant.
Man.
So are they just going to hire every Packers coach ever, and then that's their way of getting Aaron Rodgers? Like, what are they doing? Is this Green Bay West? What's happening?
I have no idea. When was the last time Dom Capers did anything?
Boy, I'm thinking way back.
Sidelines.
Gosh.
That's going way back. That's
and how
he's,
old
he's
is
not
Dom
quite
Capers?
Dick LeBeau, but he's getting up there in age, right? How old? Let's take a look. Let's see
I
what
mean,
age
he's got to be in his 70s, right?
Yeah. No, you're
he's
right.
Got to be.
Man,
Dom Capers is 71.
71.
So he's got a ways to go before he gets to Dick LeBeau.
Yeah. Hey, if you can still do it, then do it. If they want,
but
you.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Dom Capers is a Dick LeBeau. Understudy, right? He worked
so,
a lot with Dick
yes.
LeBeau.
Uh-huh.
Boy, there is a long resume for him. Senior defensive assistant for the Lions last year.
Oh, okay. So we have
senior defensive assistant. Now, what I don't know what senior defensive assistant means, but Vikings the year before and the Jags the year before that.
Don't
defensive coordinator
what
for
Schwartz
the Packers
was?
2009 through 2017.
Don't you think that's exactly what Jim Schwartz was?
Probably yeah.
The same role,
well,
right?
you can put a label on anything you want, just and have it be different things. The same title could be different in one place than another, but I would guess there's something similar to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sean from Nashville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The reason they replaced Mariota is because he would take a sack because of being afraid of interceptions. Tannehill will stand in there and throw the ball, and yes, there will be interceptions, but it is an improvement. I don't think anybody. I mean, I think even the most diehard Mariota fans who have gone away quietly would never call in today and say that Mariota is better than Tannehill, right? I mean, nobody's going to really say that.
He threw a lot of interceptions this year for him.
Who, Ryan?
Tannehill.
Yeah.
But he didn't throw a lot of interceptions the 2 years before that.
I think he's if you look at his career, he's double-digit turnover guy. That double digits is somewhere around that 14, 12, 14,
yeah,
somewhere
well,
around there.
With the Dolphins, 13, 17, 12, 12, 12. Those were his interceptions.
So, he's about that 12. So you
but
know.
But he's in the 43 games, he's got 27 interceptions, 76 touchdown passes for the Titans.
Well, you know what you're getting if you ask him. I think he fit, and I don't think people really truly realize it, but I think he fit, well, at least at the beginning, he fit what Tennessee wanted to do. Turn around, hand the ball off, throw it about 20, 25, maybe 25 times a game. We're not asking you to carry the team. We're just asking you to not mess it up. And
but
for
can
the,
you really do that with the second pick overall? Can you really do that? Like, can't you get that from anybody? I mean, you go out and get a journeyman to do that.
But this, at this point, he had already – I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill. I'm not talking about Mariota.
Yes. Okay.
I'm not talking about Mariota. They just wanted him to not be Mariota, not throw interceptions, not – but be confident enough in your arm to make some of those tough throws. Because I was the one that always said Mariota couldn't throw a deep out to save his life. Everything that he threw was in the middle of the field, because that's how he was in college. Everything he threw was in the middle of the field, and he did that extremely well. But if you asked him to throw it on the outside, he couldn't. Well, Ryan throws a really good ball to the outside. He has the arm strength to throw it to the outside. And he was brought in. Listen, we are building around you. Just don't mess it up. Well, this year, he did everything they asked him to do the first 2 years. The year that they asked him to do more, which was this year, he couldn't do it. Because he's not a guy that's a high-volume guy. He doesn't get better the more times he throws the football. He's not like Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry gets better as he runs the football more. Well, Ryan is good if he doesn't have to throw the ball 25 times a game.
Yeah, they actually, especially when the level of receiver went down, and that's what happened in a lot of the games this year. That's when a lot of those interceptions happened, is when he didn't have the full complement
of
receivers
guys out there. Yeah,
Keith from Bowling Green was on your side too, Willie. He said he tried wishing Mariota the best as well. He was a great guy. Nobody ever questioned his who he was, the makeup of Mark. Like, that was never
sure
a question. It was never about him not being a great guy or a great teammate. It's about all the other stuff, like, making passes.
The other thing when we're talking about not taking – if the theme passing of this is not taking Tannehill for granted, here's the other thing that people should remember. Jake Locker, Marcus Mariota could not stay on the field.
Nope. Yeah.
Could not stay on the field. Ryan Tannehill has not missed a start. Has not missed a start. That counts for something.
It does, especially the label he had coming from Miami, right? Mm-hmm. Which he was injured a lot. So, no question. Keith just texted and said, what about this for a show name? 3D and see ya. We'll do that for hour number one. See ya, hour number one. We'll come back. Anita Marks. We'll talk betting with her next.